It's definitely time to talk Dictionary of Sydney. Nicole Kalmer joins me. Very good morning.
Good morning. Some happy music.
It's some happy, great music. Started. Isn't that great?
Political, it really makes me happy.
Punky blues, political style.
It's awesome.
I'm loving it. Hey, we are talking about music as
well. We are. Isaac Nathan, who was called Australia's first composer, but was actually from England. But that doesn't. There's details. Details.
I was just saying. I was thinking about this. We love stealing people as our own.
We do.
And I'm saying here in 1800s, we're preempting Russell Crowe, yeah. Jane Campion, Crowded House.
We just claim everything, don't we? All achievements. No, Isaac Nathan. So he was born in Canterbury in England in 1790. And actually had an interesting kind of beginning to his life in London, you know, his career, where he actually met the poet Lord Byron. You know Byron?
Yeah,
yes.
Well, I think everyone knows
kind
Byron.
Kind of famous, totally famous. And also was apparently, it's claimed he was a royal spy, though I'm not sure if that's true. I don't know what the evidence is to suggest that, but he was definitely the music librarian to King George IV.
Wow.
So kind of cool. But then fell into financial troubles and so, of course, went to Australia, which is what a lot of people did. It was it might have been fleeing something else. We don't know.
It's really
for
not
sure.
clear, is it?
No, it's not. But he arrived in Sydney in April 1841 and actually really kind of kick-started this kind of early Australian colonial opera scene, which hadn't really been happening at the time. You know,
there
got
was an
to,
opera scene?
Well, he'd kind of started this, and it wasn't until obviously April in 1840s that it started.
Wow.
So it took quite some time for us to kind of get our act together, but he kind of kick-started that off, and he kind of started his career in Sydney as a singing instructor and also founded musical societies at St. Mary's Cathedral and St. James's Church, you know, just right near St. Mary's Cathedral. And he composed several operas, the most famous of which was Don John of Austria. And I'd kind of misread it and thought, Don John of Australia? Can you imagine?
Damn.
Spanish romance in Australia. But so that was actually the first opera that was to be written, composed and produced in Australia. And it was performed in 1847.
That's
so
incredible.
It's kind of cool to be the first one there.
Yeah, really cool.
And he actually described the performance, which was actually in the Victoria Theatre, which burned down in 1880, but it was performed in 1847. And he said, to an elegantly crowded and delighted auditoria. You know, this is like his own review. He's writing his own review. So it was obviously, it would have been a very novel thing for audiences. And also, I found this really interesting. In 1841, he set the words of the poem The Aboriginal Mother to music, which was a poem written by Eliza Hamilton Dunlop. And it was inspired by the Mile Creek Massacre, which occurred in 1838, where 28 Aboriginal people were murdered. And so it's just a really interesting time. And when it was actually performed, the newspapers were talking about how people were just in tears watching this, which is incredible. It really was. And it was such a contentious case. And in the end, there were hangings, obviously. Murderers were kind of received justice. And so it was a really interesting thing to read that's what he was kind of friends with Dunlop and set those words to music, which is just fascinating. But he also composed a patriotic ode, Australia the Wide and Free. Thinking of that word free, because we also use that in our anthem now.
We certainly do.
And that was actually played at the inauguration of the Sydney City Council in 1842, which is 175 years ago this year.
That is amazing.
A long time ago. But also he composed the song Currency Lasses. Now, do you know the term currency lass, currency lads?
I do not.
So this was something, I just think this needs to come back somehow. So this is currency lasses and lads were basically people in the colony that were born in the colony. And it was a term of a kind of condescending term.
Oh.
And the people that were born in the motherland, as they said, in England, were referred to as sterlings.
Sterlings versus
so currency were the people born here. So he made this song, and it was all about commemorating the 58th anniversary of the colony. So obviously, to a certain degree, they kind of, there were plays, the Currency Lass play, all sorts of really interesting stuff, because it was, there would have been that real divide between the people that were born here.
Of course.
And they would have been very different as well, and culturally, socially, all sorts of kind of different things kind of emerging at that time. So it's a really interesting thing to have kind of composed. And I'm thinking, I'm just imagining someone should totally name their band that or something, Currency Lasses, or just resurrect early colonial Australian opera.
I think we have to.
Into a rock kind of piece. A
rock opera.
Yes.
Sure.
So he had this fascinating career, but unfortunately was brought to a kind of premature end on the 15th of January 1864, when he was actually crushed to death by a horse-drawn tram on Pitt Street. And that was actually, the tram deaths were a big deal, because this was kind of the introduction of, the first introduction of trams, and they were horse-drawn. So it really was something that the public was quite conscious of, and it made the news, that sort of thing. And he was actually, apparently he'd stepped off the tram on the corner of Goulburn Street, and the tram moved slightly forward and he was caught under it.
Ooh.
And died instantly. So he had a 23-year career where he just produced all this kind of, he produced prolifically.
Yeah.
And was remembered at the time and well respected, but I think has unfortunately largely been forgotten since.
Look, I'm amazed I've never heard of Isaac Nathan with what you've just told me. How do we not have statues of him around
the place? I know. And how are we not kind of resurrecting some of that kind of music and just maybe reinterpreting it or something like that? It would just be really interesting to see.
I'd just like to read the libretto. Like, it'd be incredible.
Yeah.
Nicole Carmer, thank you very much. I love it when we get something genuinely I've never heard of, never even heard an inkling of it. I'm sure there is plenty more to read on Dictionary of Sydney.
Yes, there is, dictionaryofsydney.org.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll do more Dictionary of Sydney this time next week.